Welcome back to another episode of the 412 Podcast. My name is Jeremy Davis. I'm the associate pastor here at FBC Mustang and your host for another episode. We're so glad that you're joining us. Today we have a very special episode. We're going to be going behind the scenes of a mission trip to India that we took last month. It was a good trip. We had a number of guys that were there, and we have a portion of their team with us on the show today. So today we have Lawson Kraut. We have Jerry Sharian, or Charian. There's multiple pronunciations depending on what country you're in, from what I understand, as well as Colson Combs. So guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. So Colson, you've been here once before talking about a D now. Lawson, you've been on multiple times, mainly talking about mission trips, but some other things that we've done. Jerry, this is your first time on the show.
Exactly.
Yes,
this is my debut.
Yes, and first time on a podcast ever.
Ever, yes.
Ever. Excellent. Well, that's great. I'm so glad you're here. So let's go around. I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves, and we'll go around the table. The listener can't see the way we're set up, but we're going to start down at the end with Colson. So Colson, just introduce yourself. How old are you? What are you doing these days?
Yes, like Jeremy said, I'm Colson Combs. I'm a senior in high school. I go to Union City. I'm in my second year of the Institute, about to take my test Sunday, graduate. And like you said, I was on here once for DNOW 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
So I've just been hanging around, listening to Joey preach, listening to Michael preach.
Yeah.
Listening to all these guys.
Very good. And you have a girlfriend?
I do.
Yes. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Same person that Joey put me on the podcast with last
time. Oh, that's right.
He's trying to get things going here.
Okay, so was the podcast instrumental in the dating relationship, or was that just a coincidence?
I think it was just Joey.
Okay, just Joey. All right. Well, that's fair.
It didn't hurt, though.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah. All right, Jerry?
My name is Jerry Charian. I've been a member here for 9 months now. And as of now, I'm working. I have a job. And I just got to serve on this mission trip. So, yeah, pretty good.
Very good. Very good. What Sunday school class are you in?
I go to the Abide Sunday School class, okay. Joined by Kyle Brown and Michael Plinsky.
Yeah, yep. Plinsky Brown is what I call them, okay. as if they're one person. And it sounds like a detective novel to me, yep. Plinsky Brown. Very good. And Lawson?
I have been here for 34 years now. And this is I'm starting my second year as the missions ministry leader here at FBC Mustang. I'm in the choir. I teach from time to time. And that's about it.
So probably close to, because I'm assuming your parents were members here before you were born.
Yeah, they joined about when I was born.
About, okay, so truly 34 years.
Well, no, it was before that, because they got married here before I was born.
So 34 and some change, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So those that don't know, Lawson is 34 years old. He's been here his whole life. Does missions ministry stuff with us and is pretty much involved in every mission trip that goes on. And if he's not on the trip, he does know the details of it. So great asset to our church and part of our team. We're so glad that he's here. Okay, so we went to India. What were the dates of the trip?
February 1st through the 12th.
Okay, so 2 months ago now. Tell us a little bit about how we got involved with mission trips to India. That sounds to me, you know, that sounds like a daunting task, but I've never been to India. So I don't know a lot about it. In fact, I would say that kind of going into this episode, I don't know that I've had an episode where I don't know as much as I do about this trip. So I'm anxious to learn just here personally. But tell us a little bit about how we got involved in mission trips to India and how they kind of got started.
So I believe our mission partner in India went to seminary with our former youth pastor, Kent Jaggers.
Okay.
And Kent's also how we got connected in the Amazon as well. So we got connected through them. And Kevin brought us on our first trip in 2017, I think.
Okay.
I went with him and Wayne Childers on that trip.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the spiritual state of India.
So it's pretty diverse. As most of the people know, India is majorly a Hindu nation with close to 90% of the population being Hindus.
Okay.
Concentrated all around the nation, mostly in the northern part of India, and then you have some of them in the south, and then it's Muslims, and then evangelicals, I would say, is less than 1%.
Okay.
And so that's what the perception of Christianity is there. Like, it's a very small religion, and India by itself has millions of gods. Mm. And so for a lot of the Indians, Christ or the notion of Christianity is just adding into another one of the facets of their vast religion that they have.
Yeah.
So Christianity, a lot of them, if you especially part we served in the northern part, a lot of them don't know. Some of them it might be new, some of them know about it. So it is a very, very foreign religion to them. They look at Christianity as Vaishnavas and people who were converted by the Britishers,
okay,
which is not, of course, true, but that's what the perception of Christianity is over, especially in North India.
Okay. Now, Jerry, you grew up in India.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about that. Did you grow up a believer? When were you introduced to Christianity? Tell us a little bit about your background growing up there.
So yes, I did grow up in North India. I was born in North India. My parents are from South India. So and South India was the place where Apostle Thomas first came.
Mm.
And that's how Christianity was introduced to the country. And then my parents moved to the north, and I was blessed to be born in a Christian home.
Okay.
And at a young age itself, we had a small church. It was only 20, 25 people. And I was exposed to the gospel at a very small age, but I really didn't have anything to do with it until I was like 15 or 16.
Okay.
And that's where the gospel kind of struck me. And I came to know the gospel through an evangelist who was serving in the region.
Okay.
And that's how I came to know about Christ and the gospel and Christianity and why it was so different than the culture that I'm growing in.
Yeah. Okay. So even as a young kid that was growing up with Christian parents, it was still missionary work that eventually brought the gospel to you.
Basically, yes. So yeah. Missions work is how I got exposed to the gospel.
Okay.
Like in a big class of 50 people, I'd be the one Christian. In our neighborhood, we would be the one Christian family. So.
Okay.
Pretty much.
That's incredible. What a great story. So Colson, this is your first mission trip internationally?
Yeah.
Okay. And you've been on local missions and some national mission stuff here with our passion group and youth and stuff like that. But tell us a little bit about how this compares to maybe traveling within the U.S., going to a place like India.
So different.
Yeah.
Just a whole new world for me. Going from what would be a 3-4 hour bus ride with a bunch of kids to get to a mission trip place to a 15 hour flight that's just one of the four.
Mm-hmm.
So different.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Tell us a little bit about just, you know, you come off the plane, sights, sounds, kind of what you're seeing. And because I'm sure all those things are sticking out to you in a whole new way.
Yeah. We got off our first flight. We get out and there's just a lot of people. The driving was definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry knows that firsthand. He lived there. They don't drive like here, that's for sure. But the smells were very strong. Lots of strong smells.
Yeah.
I like what Lawson told me, though, as far as like landscape and stuff, that it's pretty similar to here. It's flat, lots of farmland, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. So while you guys were on the trip, I think multiple people on the trip sent me pictures of people riding around on mopeds. And fun fact, that's my favorite mode of transportation is my own moped to ride around. But everybody would send me pictures and say, hey, you'd fit in great here. I'm not sure that I would really fit in great, but I do like the little moped. Those are great.
You can fit a family of five on one small moped.
And some luggage in there.
Three adults and two children.
Okay.
I've seen it firsthand.
Okay. Well, let my wife know that we can downsize to just the moped. Yep. We'll be good to go.
Perfect.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about you know, the work that's going on. You know, you get there, it's a new place, you're kind of getting used to your environment. You know, you go out to start doing missionary work. What does that look like for a group of Americans that are landing in a place like India? How are we impacting that place? How are we helping? Kind of what does the day-to-day look like for a mission trip like this?
So we do basically three different things when we're there. We start our work on a Sunday, and we will go into a local church. Each of us will have our own translator and pastor we work with. So we'll go off our separate ways each morning. On Sunday, we'll go into a local church. We will teach them from Luke 10, how Jesus sent out the disciples two by two in order to share the gospel, kind of what that looks like, what they should expect. They should expect hostility, and then they'll find people of peace, and those are the people that they should focus on. And then we'll go through and train them how to share their testimony. We'll have them practice with each other and then practice with everyone. And then we'll practice sharing the gospel with them. So we'll model all this stuff for them. We'll have them practice with each other, and then we'll have them practice in front of everyone if they so choose. And it's really exciting because you see older men doing it, and you see 5-year-old children doing it, and they're all working together. They're excited about it, and it's a lot of fun. Sometimes you're in a church of 20, sometimes you're in a church of a couple hundred, and it just totally depends where you are. We go way out into rural villages and do that. On Monday through Wednesday, we'll go back to some of the same churches. We'll go into believers' homes, and we'll help them again, make sure they understand the gospel. Sometimes they'll invite their unbelieving friends in, and we get a chance to share the gospel with them. But the main focus of those next 3 days, our partner has developed a discipleship app. So it basically has the Jesus film in their language, either Hindi or Punjabi. They can choose which one works best for them. Then it has 50 different Bible lessons that basically walk you from Genesis to Revelation, focusing a lot on the life of Christ, but giving them the main points of the Bible. Because they're coming out of a Hindu background or a Sikh background or a Muslim background, and they basically have no understanding of Christianity whatsoever. So this gives them a good starting point to learn on their own, because a lot of them have no church in their village. So they may run into a pastor once every 2 to 3 weeks or even less, or maybe not at all. So it gives them a chance to learn about the Bible and read the Bible on their own. It also gives them 10 songs in their language that they can learn and sing and praise God. And then it also has a link to the Bible in their language so they can have that on their phone. So it's just a really good tool, and it makes me really comfortable going in and teaching for a day and knowing that I'm leaving them with something that they can grow on their own, instead of just, okay, here's Luke 10. I taught you the gospel. You believe the gospel, but now you have nothing.
Yeah.
Go read the Bible on your own.
Right.
Or they may not even have a Bible. So it just makes leaving them behind a lot easier. And I think that app is a really good tool over there, especially like Jerry said, there's less than 1% Christian there.
Yeah.
And then the last 2 days, we worked with 9 or 10 pastors throughout the week. They all come in to one place, and we lead a pastor's conference for them. So the prosperity gospel is very strong in northern India where we were, and so we did a lot of teaching against the prosperity gospel, against the healing gospel, where if you believe in Jesus, you will be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously God can heal, but that's not something that's promised before we were in glory. So so just trying to help them in their theology, help them with their right practices, because there's a lot of pastors there who have no training. Basically, there's someone in a village who believed the gospel, and they say, well, there's no pastor here, so I need to do it. And
yeah.
So no one sent them, no one trained them, and a lot of times they are they're watching YouTube videos or whatever they can find to see how they should do church, and
right.
They're getting a lot of wrong information. And they may want to do the right thing, or they may not. They may just be prosperity teachers that are in it for the money, but typically, I've found that a lot of them want to do the right thing. They just aren't equipped well for it.
Yeah.
So we're trying to help them and come alongside them to do that. So
yeah,
those are the three different things we do while we're there.
It makes you grateful for just the number of solid resources that we have at our fingertips,
mm-hmm.
and the ways that we can be trained, the ways that we can learn, just the awareness of just who some of those false teachers are in our own context, and it emphasizes why being aware of some of those things are so important. So you have a resource that you're handing them. What kind of is like the long term effect of us going over and doing this mission work? And perhaps that's something that we don't really know. We don't get to really see. But kind of what is the goal of 10 years from now? What do we hope to see? And what do we hope to see is kind of that impact?
So when we're there, we try. there's one pastor that is over this region that we typically work in.
Okay.
So our partner works with him, and they try and develop a network of solid pastors that want to grow and want to learn and want to do things biblically.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're going, we're typically working with pastors that they're not super familiar with. They have a relationship with, but they haven't actually gone and been able to work with them. So we're going out and testing the waters. We're getting into their churches. If we have an open door, we're training their people. And then we're ultimately reporting back to see, hey, I think this guy's solid. He wants to learn. He wants to do things the right way. He wants to do things biblically. And so I think he would be a good person to work with. So that kind of helps them spread out their network throughout each region. And ultimately, his goal, our partner's goal, is to have one main person of contact in each state, or in each, it's basically a county, and like we would think of now. So with a network of pastors under them that he can work through. And I think he has maybe a third of them covered now with a main point of contact. And each team he has come in, he tries to stick them in a different region so that we can see the growth in that area as we go. So,
okay. Well, that's excellent. That's neat and cool to know some of the background of that and understand kind of where we're headed. So you guys are obviously working with translators, or most of you. Colson, talk a little bit about what it's like to work with a translator. I know that you know, you're looking at vocational ministry someday. You've been working on some preaching and teaching and learning how to speak and in some of those ways. But working with a translator has to be a completely different experience. So talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, it's totally new from talking and teaching regularly here, because mm-hmm. I'd done that a couple of times, pool Bible studies and things like that Joey's given me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I go there and I have the translator. And in one aspect, it's nice because every time I say something, he has to say it. So then I have time to think about what I'll say next. So that's yeah. nice. I don't right. have to be scatterbrained like that. But it's also just weird because you don't want to go too fast, and then he doesn't catch it all. You go too slow, and
sure.
So it was the first day I had to figure it out. It was also weird because you're talking to the people that are listening to you, not the translator. And so while I'm tempted to look at the translator because I'm talking through him, I've got to keep my focus and my attention on the people I'm actually talking to through him.
Yeah.
And so that was just strange to get used to.
Yeah, I'm sure. So like day-to-day conversations, just people that you're running into on the street or in a restaurant or something like that, are you using the translator for that as well?
The translator and Jerry, because Jerry was a great help when the translators weren't with us.
So that's my next question. Jerry, you don't need a translator. Uh-huh. So what's the advantage?
Advantages, so especially on the last day when we were doing the pastor's conference, mm-hmm. I got the most time.
Yeah.
So everybody had to cut short their message to 20 to 25 minutes.
Yeah.
I got my whole 45 to 50 minutes. I did not have to cut short on anything. I could go, I could trust what I'm saying, in the sense when they are speaking, they are you are hoping that my translator is saying exactly what they're saying.
Right.
And they're not saying something that I don't mean.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I didn't have that fear. I could go all out, express what I wanted to say,
right,
and not be in a worry that people are hearing it right or hearing right. it wrong and getting the right meaning out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a big advantage.
I can imagine just all the nuances of using a translator or not using one, and advantages, disadvantages. My father-in-law used to go to India pretty regularly to do some pastoral training there, and he obviously always worked with a translator. And he said that there would be times that he would use a common phrase for the U.S., that would make no sense over there,
yep.
Or in their language, and the translator would just stop and look at him like, you know, I don't know what to say right now. And so he have to say it again, but think, you know, how do I say this, you know, uh-huh. in a better way? Well, that's great. So Jerry, I know that you grew up there. You got to be around some people that you previously knew. So tell us a little bit about that experience.
So I did grow up in that part. So language wasn't a problem for me. Fun fact, like when I had reached there, I went to this particular location with a local pastor, and they're expecting a white guy to show up. They're very excited to see an American. And so our car pulls up, I get down, and it's like, and the local pastor says, "Brother, where is the other guy who came with you yesterday?" And I was like, "Who?" And I was like, the one who came yesterday, they're like, yeah, they're not there with you? I said, no. And they're thinking I'm the interpreter for them. But when I tell them I'm from US and like I go to the church there and I'm here to serve, they're like, oh, that's nice. But, you know, we get pretty excited when we see a white guy. So we were expecting a white guy with some good American accent, but here walks a brown guy who is speaking our language, who doesn't have much accent. So they were kind of amused and like, they found it funny and yeah. They were asking me how you made it there, but all that. But no, it was pretty good, like, to go back into that place. And this was a region in the north that I had not been to before.
Okay.
So, and this was a region where a lot of people know about the word Christianity per se, mm-hmm. but they really don't know what Christ is.
Okay.
So for example, I was in this one location and I asked them, what is the gospel? Just a plain question while I was standing and speaking to them. And so many of the questions were, when they answered me the question, the gospel to them was anything that was like, I got healed. And so I thought, there is Christ. I want to believe in him. I want to have good wealth. I want to have prosperity. I want to have good health all my life. But they knew nothing about the work of Christ or the death, what Christ's death meant, the forgiveness of sin they had. So a lot of them were like, had no clue about what the gospel in its entirety and reality meant.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty refreshing for me in the sense that I got to like teach them the gospel. And we trust the Lord that they came to know the Lord through the work we did.
Mm-hmm.
But just the amazing opportunity to share the gospel and to tell them what true gospel is. And true gospel entails suffering, rejection. For us to preach that and like just be used by the Lord in that aspect was really good.
Yeah. And while that sounds, you know, so much of this sounds, you know, foreign to probably a lot of our listeners, at the same time, it's all very familiar because, especially for us being in Oklahoma City, just over, you know, in 2 hours away in Tulsa, an hour and a half away, we have, you know, the epicenter of the prosperity gospel. Mm-hmm. And so we're facing all of those same things. We have those same, the same false teaching going on. We have people falling for that false teaching and listening to the wolves that are teaching those things all over the place. And so much of that is still so applicable to us here in Mustang, America, which is amazing. It just goes to show that, you know, the tricks of the enemy and the things that are out there that are anti-God are just so repeated and used over and over again, just packaged in different ways and used in different places to different people. That's incredible. So you mentioned the white guy thing. What is it like being Americans in this area of India? Are there people that just walk up to you and talk to you? Are there people that don't want to talk to you? Kind of what is your perception as you're walking into a place like this?
I mean, you typically, especially the further out you get from the main cities, you are the only white person that maybe they've seen at all.
Okay.
Or at least in a while. So you get a lot of looks. You're like, what is that guy doing here? Sometimes they'll come up and want to take a picture with you. So it's just, it's interesting. You're almost like a celebrity walking around. Like, who is that guy?
Okay.
Why is he here?
Yeah, we had a lot of people walk up to Wayne and shake hands with him and say, can we take a picture? Because he had a jacket and a tie all the time, mostly.
Okay.
So that was funny.
Okay. He looked like somebody.
Yeah.
Plus, he's got a great beard and, you know, yeah, that's good. So speaking of Wayne, there are a couple of the members of your team that are not here with us. Who are those members?
Wayne Childers went with us. He's a retired pastor. He's been on every trip except for one to India.
Okay.
Last year, right on the morning we were leaving, he fell on the ice and broke his leg. But he made it back this year. And then Colson's brother, Colby, also went with us. So, yeah, we had a good five-person. This was the biggest team we brought so far. So
excellent, excellent. So the average church member in our church that you know, is not looking to leave and go to India, but they still want to be involved and support what is going on in India and the ministry that's there. How can they do that?
First, obviously, just praying for the ministry over there, praying for our local partners and the pastors we work with. I'd say that's first. Just all the money you give to our church, a portion of that goes to missions that helps reduce the costs. For those of us who do go on mission trips, so that's another thing that's helpful.
Very good. So any mission trips coming up soon that other people could jump into?
We will be going to Nepal in May. That trip is full and booked, but we will be going again next year if you are interested in that.
Okay.
We'll be going to work with the Godins, who was one of our former pastors here. He's planted a church in Broomfield. We'll be going there at the end of July, I believe.
Okay.
You're leading a trip to New York.
Yep.
That may already be full. I don't know for sure.
It's very full.
It's very full. I've heard it's very, very full.
Yeah, very, very full. So, yeah.
I think that's it for this year. We will be going to the, one of us will be going to the Amazon with Kent, who's now the pastor at FEC Clinton. So we will have one member going with them, but we usually bring a team there, and we'll try to bring a bigger team there next year. But
okay,
for this year, I believe that is it.
Okay, very good.
Oh, and Joey will be bringing the high school students to Utah.
Oh, that's right, yeah. At the same time, we're in New York, so we have two trips going at the same time, almost the same dates.
And yep. The Amazon is that same time, too.
Okay, all right. So a lot of mission work, a lot of things that go on here at the church. And for you, listener, member of our church, your giving does go to support these mission trips and help reduce the cost for people that are going. If you ever want to know more about missions here at FBC Mustang, you can always contact Lawson Kraut. And you can email him at lawson@fbcmustang.org. We usually have things listed on our website coming up on our calendars. We also have a mission trip booklet that goes out once a year. So you can find that to find out about some upcoming dates and things that are going on. Usually the best way to find out is just to walk right up to them and find them on a Sunday morning and just ask in person. We'll keep those things in the bulletin and all of that as well. But we hope that for you, you will one day go on a mission trip with us, whether it's here in the States, somewhere locally, or perhaps even internationally somewhere around the world, because that is the Great Commission, that we are to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and we're responsible to do that. And as a church, that is a big part of who we are and what we do. Well, thank you again, everybody, for being here, being a part of the show. Thank you, listener, for joining us once again for the 412 Podcast. We're so glad you've joined us. If you ever want to know more about FBC Mustang, you go to fbcmustang.org. You can follow along with everything going on there. You can always sign up for events and upcoming things at the Ministry Connection right outside of our worship center. I also want to say thank you to Samuel Campos, our producer, who always makes our episodes sound great. And thank you for our church members who give and make these ministries possible. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we will see you next time on the 412 Podcast.